Hello, and welcome to another RPG genre episode. This one put together by Riley from the Diegetic Advancement podcast. You can listen to the same episode here, but I encourage you to go subscribe if you aren't already. Go there and listen to his episode. It's also just crazy that we're halfway through the month already, and kids will be going back to school. How fast the year has been flying by. But speaking of time flying by, we have two more episodes to go for this. Next one up will be horror, and it would be great to get calls in by the 19th. The plan is to try to get the episode up by the 21st. I've only gotten two other calls for this one, so I need some rallying to happen here. Let's hear about your Call of Cthulhu experiences or Mothership or the Alien RPG, or I'm sure there are plenty of RPGs out there that we could talk about when it comes to horror. And there's so many different subgenres of horror that we could talk about the media forever. And I'm also curious what kind of supplements or what kind of adventures are out there that people might enjoy and have run or have played in that have been really fun and actually kind of spooky. After that, the plan is to close out the planned episodes with sci-fi, another big tent genre that I'm curious to hear people's entries on. The plan would be roughly the 24th, and the episode would come out roughly the 26th. And we ask for patience and flexibility to ensure that people don't go insane trying to put all these things together. But besides that, let's get into it. Thank you once again, Riley, for putting this together.
Between the time when the oceans drank Atlantis and the rise of the sons of Arius, there was an age undreamed of. Let me tell you of the days of high adventure. Welcome to RPG A Day, Sword and Sorcery Edition, hosted by Merc the Meek, and this particular genre brought to you by me, Riley, of Diegetic Advancement. Before we get into me answering the questions myself, which we'll get to very, very soon, I thought a little intro to the genre, quickly put together, was worthwhile. So, Fritz Leiber of Lankmar and Fafnir to the Grey Mauser proposed the term sword and sorcery for the sort of fiction that Howard was writing when he was writing Conan and similar stories. And to me, the sword and sorcery genre is defined by those Conan stories and similar pulp adventure stories inspired by Conan. To me, that means it's often human-centric, somewhat grounded, fantastical world. It's dark and gritty, but the protagonists themselves, although grey, they are heroic. And these heroes battle against evil men and wicked sorcery with nothing but their sword and their wit. And in the pulp tradition, the hero is driven by adventure. They interject themselves into situations, sometimes for no other reason than it's right there in front of them. Now, my suggestions are going to be heavily biased and come from a place of relative ignorance of the wide world of RPGs and media. Because I basically, at this point, exclusively, well, one, I came to the hobby quite late, and I basically exclusively play and engage with D&D, and do that through OD&D and sometimes AD&D. I've read very little outside the mainstream from there. However, hopefully my generic answers will provide good contrast against the many cultured callers that will surely contribute. So, the three questions. The first is, what's your favorite rule set for the genre and why? Now, I think early D&D is certainly heavily inspired by these sword and sorcery authors and others. It's certainly not a sword and sorcery game because of those other inspirations. It's sort of has a broader genre, and if you've listened to the D&D as a genre episode from Merc, it has become its own sort of thing, right? Things like clerics and magic users, elves, dwarves, and halflings, lots of monsters instead of men, these kind of grind against the genre. It does have the elements though, right? So you can strip some of the game elements back, and you can certainly lean into that genre. That's tends to be the way that I enjoy to play my D&D. But I have a couple of games that I'll recommend instead. So firstly, the Black Sword Hack. I'm a big fan of the Black Hack. It's a fast, simple game, enough meat on the bone to run something a bit longer. And I'll refer you to previous discussions on the Nerds RPG Variety Cast on that topic. And it's perfect for running pulp adventures. Now, the Black Sword Hack, which is a sort of iteration on the Black Hack, transports the game into a world inspired by Moorcock, who Lieber was responding to when he suggested the name Sword and Sorcery for the genre. And it just screams Sword and Sorcery. Slightly more up my alley currently is Seven Voyages of Xylothan. It's a great interpretation of OD&D. It's part Sword Sorcery, part Sword and Sandal, but it certainly does that stripping back work that I talked about. Removal of clerics, it's human only, sort of a suggestion from the tone that you should be fighting more men instead of monsters. So great game. Now, what's this genre's best, most fun module or adventure? I don't have a specific answer here. I think DCC, though, has a great lineup of modules to support this. The modules sort of lean more trad game than OSR, which is sort of my preference, but they nail vibe and have great set-piece encounters. And, of course, they also have a number of good, famous licenses across the genre. Unfortunately, they've lost the Lankmar license, but there's a great set of adventures in that line. Previous work that was inspired by Lankmar is there as a Punjar. It's effectively their unbranded Lankmar. But very much their adventures are all pulpy. Lastly, favorite media. As I said, I'm vanilla and I'm probably preaching to the choir, but Conan, the stories, the movies are fantastic. They are kind of what Sword and Sorcery is, and they're certainly up there with my favorites. But barring those, for me, personally, I really like Fafnir and the Grey Mouser. It's one of the first stories that I have read, so there's some bias there. Definite Sword and Sorcery. It's got this fun wit and humor, especially with the two protagonists rather than Conan being solo. Of course, Conan does have wit and humor in it as well, which I suppose is a bit of an element of that. It's kind of this lightheartedness, heroicness to the protagonist as opposed to the evil and depravity that they are faced with. Anyway, that is my answers, and I'm looking forward to hearing everyone else's contribution, perhaps expand my horizons. Thank you for listening, and bye for now. Okay, it's Riley from the future here, or the present, and that was Riley from the past. That was the intro that I recorded for this genre topic, and I guess now I'm going to play some call-ins. I've got a great lineup of calls. I've got a call from Jason of the Nerds RPG Variety Cast, Carl of the Geomologist, Peter, Spez Baby from various Discords. And I put out the call very late yesterday on a Australian OSR community Discord that I'm involved in the running of and associated with the convention that I run with people from that Discord. And I got a call from Rob, who is a great dungeon master. He's running us through, running me and some other people through Arden Vool with AD&D, and I'm having an absolute blast there. So thank you for responding to that, Rob. Then I've got a special conversation where Michael of Merrick the Meek will speak with a cast of characters on Sword and Sorcery. And yeah, as I said, that's Michael, Joe Salvador of Raven God Games, and Ian, who I don't know, but enjoyed listening to. So I think I'm just going to let this play. There is also a second call-in from Merrick where he remembers something that comes up in that long conversation, it'll either be spliced in there or play just after the fact. I'll see how I edit it. But enjoy. Great call-ins from everyone. And thank you very much for participating and listening in RPG A Day in the experiment that Merc is running, and in the larger community effort around this event. Anyway, I'll leave you with a message. Go out, play some games, and bye for now.
Wow, Sword and Sorcery. Sword and Sorcery is one of my favorite genres. I love role-playing games in Sword and Sorcery. I've collected a bunch of them from the, you know, I have Stormbringer, the original Stormbringer. I've got Marvel, or not Marvel, I have TSR's Conan. I've got a ton of other ones. But my go-to Sword and Sorcery game is still Barbarians Lemuria from 2004. Now, Reaver from Raven Guy Games is a very close second, if not eventually it may replace Barbarians Lemuria. I don't know. I think they fill slightly different places for me. I really enjoy both. I really like some of the mechanics in Reaver, but Barbarians of Lemuria really captures the Sword and Sorcery thing for me. And for me, Sword and Sorcery, so if I had to pick one game, it'd be Barbarians of Lemuria, with Reaver being a very, very close second. And if I only had Reaver, that wouldn't hurt my feelings. If you told me I could only have Reaver and couldn't have Barbarians of Lemuria, I wouldn't search any, or Barbarians of Lemuria didn't exist, I wouldn't search it past Reaver. I would be happy with that for all my gaming. Module, again, kind of like superheroes, for me, the module, I don't need adventures. I don't need that for Sword and Sorcery. What is world building? Honestly, to me, the perfect Sword and Sorcery module, my favorite thing, and this is probably a combination of the final two questions, your favorite quintessential media, but for me, the module is the Marvel guide to the Conan universe. So Marvel published Conan comics for decades. And, you know, the Roy Thomas Conan probably is still my Conan, to be honest. I mean, Roy Thomas helped write some of the movies, and he had ideas in a lot of that stuff. And I really like the way he ties together some of the Robert E. Howard stories. So while Robert E. Howard's Conan is the quintessential Conan, And if I had to pick one media for Sword and Sorcery, it'd be Robert E. Howard's Conan. As far as the world building and where the world I want to play in, it's Roy Thomas's Marvel Comics Conan. So that Marvel guide to Conan universe, or whatever it's called, you know, they put out a comic with basically, it's just a 32-page comic, and it goes through all the different lands and the main NPCs and stuff in the comic world for Conan. And to me, that's all I need. That's all the world building I need. And I can build a game off that with Barbarians Lemuria and run with it. So that's really the module for me, would be that comic book guide, right? And like I've already said, for me, the quintessential media is Robert E. Howard's Conan stories. There are other great authors out there, and I would recommend you not just read one, but read these other things, whether they're pastiches, you know, like Thongor and some of those, or you know what I've actually been reading. What I'm reading at the moment is Howard Andrew Jones's Lord of a Shattered Land, which are stories about his barbarian. And I'm really enjoying that. So, sorry, his barbarians, Hanover. No, I'm saying that wrong. But I like to read all these different stories, but Robert E. Howard's the quintessential. I have the big collections, the omnibuses for the Marvel Conan the Barbarian and Savage Swords Conan, and I really like them because I do like the way Roy Thomas has weaved together the different Howard stories and put in other things and worked with those. And of course, the 80s movies all have a special place in my heart, whether it's the Conan the Barbarian movie, whether it's the Sword and the Sorcerer, you know, all those 80s Sword and Sorcerer movies have a special place in my heart as well. So those are my thoughts. I would rather play a Sword and Sorcery game than a high fantasy game any day. personally. Sword and sorcery is my preferred fantasy genre. You're playing humans. Magic is tough. You're probably not, if you're playing a magic user, it's dangerous. And you know, those are those are the kind of games I like. Wow. I just started rambling. Sorry about that, folks.
Hey, Riley, thanks for joining Merc and Jason and doing this. And this is Carl from the Geomologist Presents. And this is my entry for Sword and Sorcery. So to me, I think the game that has recently defined Sword and Sorcery, though I played the Conan, the Mongoose Conan was always really fun, and the Modiphius Conan was pretty good, though it gets, I don't know, it gets kind of too crazy and more high fantasy-ish, especially with the magic system. But I think the one that, for me, typifies and is based on the literature, and not just Howard, but others, is Hyperborea, and that's by Northwind Adventures, Jeff Talanian's a game. It's a fantastic, great sword and sorcery. Also throws in sort of the odd sci-fi angle, and it's inspired, not, like I said, not just by Howard, but by Lovecraft, by C.L. Moore, by Clark Ashton Smith, and the Yog-Sothery and mythos is prevalent. And I've had a great time with that system. I would also give a runner-up to the new game Reaver by Joe Salvador. I helped to playtest, I and others, Jason and Joe, and a whole bunch of other people playtested this extensively, and Joe Salvador has really captured that sword and sorcery vibe. But I haven't played it enough, or haven't had enough, so it's an honorable mention, and I want to get into it. I actually ran it recently at an online con, and it definitely presented that sword and sorcery horror vibe, which was really nice, that darkness that you get, the sort of low magic, and having to, I don't know, having to solve a problem sometimes by your bootstraps, right? Seat of your pants, I guess, is another cliche for that. Anyway, I really enjoyed that. I think, adventure. Well, I would say that for Hyperborea, probably a classic adventure that I've heard a lot of people run almost as an intro to Hyperborea is set in the cityscape, and that is the rats in the walls, and it's a good adventure to start a campaign with, a good adventure to put you in the main city of the age. Really nice little adventure there. There's so many other adventures that that Jeff has published, and he's outsourced it to some other authors, which have made some great adventures for Hyperborea. So that would be a good one. I'm trying to think of for a tower. There's multiple incarnations of Tower of the Elephant. And I guess that kind of segues as an adventure. And I remember one running it several times for the Mongoose, and that, of course, Tower of the Elephant kind of segues into the media. And I think the media for me is actually the literature. Well, I think a movie, Conan the Barbarian, with Schwarzenegger from, I think, 81, does a great job of capturing that world and that feel. I think you got to go back to the literature. And for me, it's Howard. The Conan stories. I have several copies and several different editions and renditions of the Howard stories of Conan, and I love picking up a book and reading them now and again. Some of my favorite being, well, Tower of the Elephant, a great example of the sword and sorcery vibe, God in the Bowl, and I think, well, Hour of the Dragon, of course, but I think my favorite story, and so it's almost like a frontier tale. Well, it is a frontier tale, but done in a sword and sorcery vein. I guess you could put it on any frontier, maybe even the colonial American frontier. But is Beyond the Black River, which is always a short story I read at now and again, and it's a. And I know Modiphius did have like a quick start where Beyond the Black River was the backdrop for it, but I haven't run it, so I can't say that that's the module to go to, but definitely the media and the story. So there you go, my entry for Sword and Sorcery.
Hello, this is Riley from the future for real this time, recording after the release of the episode because I've forgotten a call in, and I'm very sorry to Spencer from Keeper of the Borderlands. Not even the last call to come through, plenty of time, and I just let it slip. So I apologize. That will play for you in just a moment. I will release this as a separate episode, and I'll re-edit the audio and re-upload. So depending on where you're listening to this, it'll be quite apparent. Quite a few callers mention 80s films as a good sword and sorcery literature or media, and Spencer is the host of Movie Mondays. They've done a lot of reviews, collaborative reviews of these 80s pulpy and sword and sorcery movies, so go check those out as along with all the other great content over on their podcast. I'm going to use this mistake as an opportunity to include another adventure recommendation, and that is Moldvay's Pulp Fantasy Trilogy, which is X1, The Isle of Dread, and B4, The Lost City, and X2, Castle Amber. It's a very cool set of adventures, and Castle Amber is a bit of the weird side, but great sword and sorcery and pulpy kind of adventures in the D&D tradition. Anyway, I'll let Spencer talk now. Sorry again, and bye for now.
Hey there, Riley. You no doubt heard my message about not knowing where D&D ends and sword and sorcery begins, but I think the idea that magic is frowned upon is at least an interesting distinction. Which brings me back to Dungeon Crawl Classics again, where magic is dangerous and a corrupting force. But that got me thinking about another setting where magic is a corrupting force, and that's Dark Sun, recently announced for a re-release by Wizards of the Coast, of course. A setting where the world is effectively being destroyed by magic. And although it has that sort of John Carter sword and planet vibe, I think it qualifies as sword and sorcery. I was fortunate enough to have played in a homebrew Dark Sun hack using Sword and Wizardry Light, run by Dave Aldridge of the old De Percentile podcast. And I had a lot of fun playing in that world. And I'll also use this as an opportunity to give Jason Connolly a shout out, who ran my first ever online gaming experience with Barbarians of Lemuria, a system that Jason will almost certainly be talking about here. As for media, I'm going to go with Albert Pune's The Sword and the Sorcerer from 1982, which has all the tropes you want from sword and sorcery and a few that you may not want. I'm ashamed to say I have not read much in the way of sword and sorcery myself, so I'm going to leave it there. But thanks for doing this and take care.
Sword and sorcery. I guess Hyperborea is claiming to do sword and sorcery RPGs well, but I haven't done more than just read it. I guess it's telling that it owes its DNA to AD&D, and it's something I'm pretty familiar with, and I think if you make particular tweaks to AD&D and the classes that are available, you can get a perfectly functional sword and sorcery game up and running. For an setting or an adventure, I guess I'd pick the Wilderlands, I think from the original Judges Guild, and it's republished in a slightly friendlier format by Necromancer Games maybe a decade ago, maybe more. But yeah, Wilderlands, it's kind of got that crazy frontier vibe, bit of a mix of everything, Amazons, barbarians, the whole thing. It kind of evokes, I guess, Conan. I guess Conan is the thing that speaks most to me when I think of sword and sorcery, along with those cheesy 1980s movies. But Conan is almost perfect. The Arnold Schwarzenegger version, of course. The music is just top-notch, really gets me going. Used to start many a role-playing session back in the 90s and noughties with the Conan soundtrack. It's just solid gold. And other media, I guess you're looking at Robert E. Howard's Conan stories. That really, for me, is the vibe for sword and sorcery and what sort of sets it apart from, I guess, a more of a general fantasy, typical medieval sort of vibe.
Hi, Riley, Jason, and Merc. This is Peter, a.k.a. Space Baby, from the Discords and Blue Sky, here with my call-in about sword and sorcery. So, sword and sorcery is probably my favorite genre of fantasy gaming, without a doubt. And my top fantasy game would be Hyperborea, or Astonishing Swordsmen and Sorcerers of Hyperborea. Unfortunately, I don't really consider that a sword and sorcery game much anymore, for one of the key reasons that you alluded to, that it's too easy for players to use magic. It doesn't offer any real dark and dangerous magic in the base game. So I wouldn't use it for sword and sorcery, I just use it for fantasy. But of the other ones, if you wanted to stay with an F20, a D20 system, I'd probably go through Sunken Lands, the sister game to Beyond the Wall, or maybe, I really like Low Fantasy Gaming, Tales of Argosa. Both of those are great little sword and sorcery games. But I think my high point would be Barbarians of Lemuria, which is probably going to be everybody's high point. It's quick, it's easy, it's very easy to explain to new players. It's a great little game. And I like adding the Sword and Sorcery Codex that Garnet Elliott put out for, I think, everyone. I think that adds a little extra oomph to Barbarians of Lemuria. So that would be my favorite game. For adventure, unfortunately, my favorite adventure is out of print, hard to find, because it's licensed. And that would be the Free RPG Day adventure, Pit of Cthulhu, for the Conan 2D20. I think it's a great intro sword and sorcery adventure. It offers pretty much everything you'd want to touch on sword and sorcery tropes, except for maybe some weird science. But it's just a straight-ahead, a great little quick adventure that really captures the genre. But as I said, it's hard to find. With all the old IP stuff, it just disappears. But if you can find one, it's a fun little one. And then for media, I mean, movies, Conan the Barbarian, I mean, all the standards are there. For comics, I mean, I like Busiek's run of Conan, but they're all great. Books, I mean, Howard and Clark Ashton Smith are my top two. But the key one, not the key one, Andrew Offit's stuff from the 70s, his pastiches, those are great. I really like them. They're really accessible. But the key book, to me for, sword and sorcery has got to be, Brian Murphy's Flame and Crimson. Which is the history of sword and sorcery as a genre. Its first chapter on defining what sword and sorcery is, I think, is completely essential for all sword and sorcery gamers. It's a remarkable exploration into the genre. And so that would be my main media recommendation, Brian Murphy's Flame and Crimson. A great book. Anyway, thanks for continuing with this, Riley, and everyone have a great day.
So I'm here with Joe Salvador from Raven Got Games and Ian And both these guys are part of the Monday Night group that we play various games. We just recently got done with Reaver, which is an awesome sword and sorcery game. And it sounds like we don't have a ton of experience outside of Reaver when it comes to sword and sorcery. I've looked at Swords of the Serpentine, which is, I don't know if you guys know the gumshoe system, which is more about investigation games. They took that chassis and made a sword and sorcery game out of it. It's rather crunchy, so I didn't really want to actually like use it very much, but it is kind of interesting, more for like the setting.
That's one I don't know. But yeah, like you said, I don't have a wide breadth of like experience with different games I've played. Maybe Ian can talk about the Conan D20 game. We played that quite a bit. I've read a lot of sword and sorcery games, and the ones that appeal to me would be Barbarians of Lemuria, which I realize Jason is the man to talk to about that. There's a few Black Hack sword and sorcery games that are out there, like the Black Sword Hack, which is very good. And By This Axe I Hack, which is a play on a King Call story, which is also really intriguing. I have not played that. Aside from Reaver, which I played a bit, I played Hyperborea, Astonishing Swordsman, Sorceress of Hyperborea. That's a great game. It's an amazing setting. I love the setting for that. And that really does bring that game kind of to the fore in my mind as far as uniqueness as among the sword and sorcery genre, because it is really like weird science mixed with like Lovecraftian elements. It's a really good time. But yeah.
Yeah. The first year I went to ShireCon, I actually got to play with Jeff Talanian, the author. Nice. We didn't get too far because our group wasn't the smartest, and we poked a bear. It was more like a giant crocodile, but we all died there. 2 hours into like the 4 hour slot, we were done. But it was a great time. And you're right. You know, there's definitely some ape men and you know the tropes. So that was a lot of fun. Mm-hmm.
That's usually something that I'm always thinking about whenever we're talking about these games in a specific genre is, you know, how does the game and how do the rules or the content of, say, the spells or, you know, class options kind of reflect the genre? And, you know, we spend a lot of time playtesting Reaver, and that's the one sword and sorcery game that I've played the most. And I remember us talking a lot about how that game, you know, has things that we kind of developed to reflect the genre. So like the die chain modifier, when you want to give some kind of meta currency to a player and have them kind of push the action in a scene, it feels a lot like the way the stories work in that genre. So as a player, I always kind of appreciate being able to make something for a genre like that and have it fit. I had worked on a couple of the Conan games just, you know, as a copy editor, proofreader. It was the Mongoose Conan game and the Modiphius 2D20 Conan game. And those games also kind of have, you know, meta currencies and, you know, pools of other points that you can use to kind of manipulate the stories. I haven't played Hyperborea, though. I'd like to try that one soon.
Oh, yeah, it's very cool. Maybe we'll run it sometime.
Yeah.
Yeah, elephant in the room, Joe created Reaver. I love it too. It's a lot of fun. The die chain is great. You know what a success is. You know what a crit is before you even roll. It's just what dice size are you using. So it's fairly simple that way. The classes are very iconic. And the fact that you can choose a background to tweak how that class plays. Like I played essentially Tarzan as a barbarian. I think it'd be a lot of fun just creating different characters and playing through them.
Appreciate that, man.
Yeah. Any other thoughts on Reaver or any other games?
Something about Reaver, too. I would say that it was fun. I wasn't playing a spellcaster, but when other players were playing spellcasters, it was really fun to see the difference of how that magic system works and how there's real risk involved with just trying to cast a spell, kind of, you know, based on the way the genre is, where everyone isn't just walking around blasting fireballs everywhere. It's, you know, there's rituals, there's some kind of inherent danger, or, you know, you may not be able to control the thing that, you know, you've created or the situation you've created. So just as another player in those situations or someone playing a fighter, it was kind of fun whenever that would happen to see, you know, this whole scene is going to change. The scene is going to kind of unravel for better or for worse. So I really like that part of that type of, you know, that genre.
Yeah. That could lead right into adventures. Because we were playtesting the newer adventures for the Kickstarter. And that did happen, right? We had our spellcaster try to cast an aiding spell, and it misfired and did some damage. That ultimately led to the character's demise, right? Or no, he served. The other neat thing about Reaver is you can, your body can drop dead, and then you kind of roll over the body and decide at that moment, is this character truly dead or something else? So even though it can be a deadly game, your characters can be survivable at the same time.
Yeah. Yeah. Much like the genre. Like the genre is one where, it's very heroic and it's pretty hard to kill Conan or any of those iconic characters, those heroes in, whether it's Robert E. Howard's work or Liber or anybody else. But yeah, that's built in. I don't want to make this like the Reaver podcast or anything. as far as like adventures go though, like I don't really use a lot of pre-made adventures. I usually just make stuff up, but the ones I have used, I wholeheartedly once again, push Jeff Talanian's work. I think it's like a first level adventure. It's called Rats in the Walls, which is a Lovecraft story. Mm-hmm. It takes the trope of like, you're at the inn and the tavern, they have rats in the basement, and it takes that and turns it into something that's actually interesting. And it's one of my favorite little intro adventures. And I don't want to spoil it, but there's some secrets in the basement. Aside from that, Jeff's other, adventures, I'm going to miss some of the titles. Sightless Serpent, something, The Crypt of the Sightless Serpent, maybe. Very cool. But a lot of his works, again, like I said, they are influenced by Clark Ashton Smith and H.P. Lovecraft. So you might find yourself fighting some like weird entity from outer space or, just something along those lines. And I love that stuff. Definitely, if for those interested, I would say check his adventures out.
I can't remember if it was Jason from Nerds RPG Variety Cast or Daniel from Bandit's Keep has mentioned in the past, like a random adventure generator for sword and sorcery. I don't know if it's available. I'll try to like make sure that gets in the show notes or something, but that could be another option. So, and we can kind of transition into media if you guys don't have anything else to say about this, but like, what media do you love for sword and sorcery? I mean, the big one is Conan, of course. And like, how would those maybe inform the adventures that you want to play or want to run or create? So, yeah, I mean, Conan's the big one. Tower of the Elephant is probably, it's the most iconic. It might be my favorite. I just got done listening to Queen,
The Black Coast.
Yeah, Queen of the Black Coast. And speaking of Conan, surviving, there's like a hyena tearing at his throat. He's bleeding at the end of that. And, there's one like biting onto his shoulder. And
I was going to say something that, besides Conan, which the first Conan movie definitely is, my top choice. And still, I compare a lot of other movies to it, not just sword and sorcery, but other fantasy genres. I compare to that and kind of, even though I know that movie, is a little different than the Conan and the stories in places. And, something about the setting is a little different. But something that I think about a lot is Excalibur, John Borman's Excalibur, because, it's a King Arthur story, but there's a real kind of, dark sorcery, ritualistic magic, element to it. There's, there's a sword, there's a powerful weapon, but that has its own demands and kind of limitations, based on your behavior. And, it has kind of like an ancient, pre-civilization type quality to it. It's something that's found in nature. And just the way that movie's filmed and the way kind of light is used and the way the scenes of magic are presented, it does not feel like you're watching, a high fantasy movie. So I kind of think about that a lot, even though it's a King Arthur. I never really think about King Arthur as like sword and sorcery, but because Merlin sometimes is presented as a standard, what we think of, a wizard with a tall pointy hat on, but maybe that's because, cartoon representations have bled into things. That's probably the one I think of.
Yeah. I mean, there's a lot of like those old movies, like you said, Dragon Slayer is another one that I think of a lot, just because of the grit in that movie. It's almost like a, that you feel like the movie the people that the world is lived in, the people are there. There's comedy elements and whatnot, but it's a believable sort of world, which I like a lot. And I like Moorcock, I like Liber, but I always go back to Howard as my main source of inspiration. And I love Conan. I think there's a good handful of those stories that are really top quality sword and sorcery. But probably my favorite character is Bronn McMorn. Partly because of my own like love history and like historical fiction. And it is very much historical sword and sorcery, right? It's a pict against the Roman Empire. It's also very fateful, and it's almost like a, if you consider like Nordic myth, the idea of like Ragnarok and the doom of everything, there's like that sense in there that Bronn McMorn knows that he and his picks are doomed. But he's doing everything he can to like strive against that demise. And that for me is one of like the key elements of sword and sorcery, where the individual hero refuses to give up. They fight to the very last. That's the kind of thing that I like to look at. And some of the, I made Reaver to kind of like mimic that kind of setting, like a very believable, gritty, down to earth setting. I think the game replicates that feel. And it makes the heroes and the characters, player characters, the choices they make matter. And like Ian was saying earlier, like it's not like D&D where you can go around casting spells all day long and there's no consequence. Their spellcaster in Reaver needs to really consider, is it worth casting this spell? Because something really bad might happen to me or the people around me or to the world. And the same thing with fighting and getting into combat, like, you know, bad things can happen. So that's the kind of genre that I like. But I mean, we're talking about sword and sorcery genres in general. Like, they're so varied. You know, there's stone and sorcery, there's sword and soul, African inspired sword and sorcery. So there's a lot of inspiration out there that people can look at, whether it's something like even like Beowulf or Greek myth.
Yeah. We're talking Robert E. Howard and precursors to Conan. Solomon Kane is another fun one. This is a hot take maybe, but The Princess Bride, it's a stretch, but I enjoy that one. Low fantasy. Another pastiche of Conan is Kothar the Barbarian from Gardner F. Fox. I don't know if anybody's ever read those, but
yeah,
definitely, you know, I think he knows that he's, you know, copying off of Conan pretty hard, so he leans into it and winks at the
absolutely. I've only read maybe the first one or two of those Kothar books, and they're kind of like a fun romp that is kind of tongue-in-cheek, you know.
Yeah. I typically try to throw in some kids options as well. I've talked about this on my podcast before, but Conan the Adventurer from the 90s, the cartoon. It's not like the Conan movie, it's not real Conan, but it's close enough, and it, you know, it's kind of a mix of Conan and Cull.
Yeah, Thundar the Barbarian was probably the first thing that was even related to sword and sorcery that I ever saw, you know, that I remember. So I knew that before I knew who Conan was. So,
yeah, or even like He-Man.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
There's some elements there. And He-Man's kind of what inspired by Conan. Mm-hmm. It seems to be a fact, right? It just adds that weird science element into it.
All right. Any last thoughts on sword and sorcery before calling it quits?
I just want to say, Joe mentioned Fritz Leiber, and a lot of times people talk about sword and sorcery characters, like the top ones or kind of the classic ones. A lot of times it's Conan, Elric, and Fafnir and the Grey Mouser. And I always loved Elric. I still do, and like collect Elric comics and all of that. And I still love Conan stuff, but I only like later in life read Fafnir and the Grey Mouser stories. And you know, I think for longtime gamers, one of the things that's great about those stories is they might be since they're kind of like Appendix N stories and kind of like were identified as, you know, influences for D&D early on, they read most like a D&D adventure in a way, minus a lot of the monsters. You know, there are monsters in them, but the way the characters are strikes me more the way we play characters in RPGs and create our characters, where, you know, Conan can kind of be almost too perfect at times, or too, you know, he's really strong and he's really smart and he's, you know, so he has a lot of abilities, but these guys are, you know, they're lucky they survive and they make, you know, terrible mistakes. They are kind of jackasses and, you know, in a way that I love. And so they're really funny stories too, but I've been getting into those. I'd like to play, you know, like the Lankmar, you know, setting sometime, because I think, you know, that would be a great, you know, city setting for the genre. And the way they handle gods and kind of powerful beings in those stories is kind of hilarious, because they're just kind of toying with them. And, you know, they just are somehow managed to survive, you know, and that's definitely how it feels like sometimes in a D&D game, you know, not like it was Destiny. It's like, you're lucky you're making it to level two.
Yeah,
the DCC Lankmar, I don't know if that's still in print, but I've always been curious to try it out, but I just haven't played DCC, so I haven't got it.
Yeah, DCC is a good time. I haven't played it for a while now, but it was fun to run it. Mm-hmm. But I never did do Lankmar with it. I think I have that stuff. Maybe PDF.
All right. Yeah, if nobody else has anything else to say, we'll wrap it up. Thank you guys for chit-chatting about us.
Thanks, Michael.
You're very welcome. Thanks for having us on.
Hey, Riley, I found the Sword and Sorcery Random Adventure Generator that I referred to in the chat that I had with Joe and Ian, and it's on hyperborea.tv, which is the website for Astonishing Swordsmen and Sorcerers of Hyperborea. So you could check that out. There's a resources page, and it's on there, along with an encounter generator for the different regions of Hyperborea. Basically, you roll a bunch of d20s to create the adventure. So the first thing you roll is a title in two parts. And I rolled Sword of Sorcery. And then you roll a verb and a noun. And what I rolled was Seek and Bazaar. And a word that comes up semi-often in Sword and Sorcery stories is Cyclopean. So I threw that in there. So the mission is to seek the Cyclopean Bazaar. And then the hook is a prophecy. I rolled that. The antagonist, an evil sorcerer. A potential ally, I rolled a naive young warrior. An obstacle is a curse, whether imagined or real. A complication is an old rival gets involved. And I was thinking, if this is like a one-shot, the PCs might not have a rival. But with this naive young warrior ally, maybe he or she has a rival, something along those lines. And also the twist is forced to ally with enemy or rival. So I think that fits pretty well. Reward, I just kind of assumed the Sword of Sorcery would be the reward, but they also have other things. So I rolled exotic spices or lotuses. So that's kind of the entire adventure idea.
Thanks again, Riley, for putting this one together. Thank you, Jason, for helping to organize and compile things. And thank you all for listening. Take care.